It's All Things Considered, and I'm Dave Lawrence. Today we're celebrating the life of Mary Wilson of the Supremes, who suddenly passed away last night at her home outside of Las Vegas. She was 76. The legendary, pioneering entertainer, author, cultural ambassador, humanitarian, and beloved voice of some of music's greatest songs joined us twice over the years as a guest, and in the most recent interview we did, in the summer of 2019, she took us all the way back to the beginning.
I'd love to talk about our early beginnings because everyone that I know, black and white artists, they all have the same influences because rock and roll was still so very new, and we were that group of young people who were screaming and yelling, you know, back then. So what really happened for us was that we were influenced by those early pioneers, Little Richard, Chuck Berry, Bo Diddley. So that's why it was kind of cool that Berry Gordy and Motown had a sign above their door saying the sound of young America. That's kind of what we grew up in. Back Flo, Diane, and I all were in 7th or 8th grade when we first met, and we just started singing because we enjoyed the music. We just enjoyed singing.
Smokey Robinson arranges this a cappella audition for Berry Gordy. He says you guys should go back to school.
Well, the thing there was we were young girls, teenage girls in high school. I didn't realize this at the time. I don't think the others did as well, but the record company didn't want to have four teenage girls running around and somebody happened to get knocked up, you know. And they were still a young company as well. And they brushed us off in that way. But you know what? We were not the kind of girls that were going to stop school anyway. I mean, our parents would have killed us, you know. So for him to say something like that to us, where it was like just ludicrous, but it still made sense. I understand it now. It's like, okay, come back when you're a little older.
But you had a lot of persistence, and it led to you frequenting the studio, spending time being there, and eventually working your way into initially doing hand claps, backing vocals for people like Marvin Gaye.
And you're right. The bottom line was that we made them sign us.
Tell the story of your Supremes 1964 breakthrough hit, Where Did Our Love Go?
Yes. We didn't have any hit records until our, I think it was the 7th or 8th release. That really was disappointing because we were called the no-hit Supremes. I kind of made that up myself because I knew people were talking about us behind our backs. As I said, we thought we were really good. We were the first girl group. Finally, Holland Dozier Holland, the producers, wrote this record for us, Where Did Our Love Go? Well, it not only became number one, but it kind of changed the music scene forever because we had 5 consecutive number ones after that record. And then 1 or 2 did not make it to number one, but then the next 4 were consecutive number ones. So, yeah, that record really did change who we were. We were now international stars.
The Supremes were paired at times with fellow Motown acts, the Temptations for mm-hmm. 2 collaborative albums, and then the 4 Tops.
Mm-hmm. We being all the artists, would sit in on some of the other artists' recording sessions. And so later on, when we were teamed up with the Temptations, it was because Eddie Kendricks and Paul Williams were the group that started singing. They became the Temptations, 2 members of the Temptations. But in the beginning, the Primes, they were the ones who started the Primettes as a group. So then we went on to become the Supremes.
Remembering Mary Wilson today, and from her 2019 interview, we head back to her dressing room at the Blaisdell Concert Hall in 2012.
Thank you very much, David.
You're quite welcome. So there's a theme of giving that has occurred in your life.
I started very young. I love children. So I was the eldest of a family of 3. In fact, my brother's birthday is today. Oh, my God.
Happy birthday.
I got to call him. And so, but he always said, you know, I was the older sister, and I was always very much like a mom. I've always been that kind of person wanting to do. However, I tell you what did start me doing things, helping children, were when my own son died in a car accident in 1994. And that really kind of stepped up my charity work because of that. But I've just always been that way, you know, just giving.
So there was a catalyst, you're saying, for a little bit of it, but that is what you're saying also is it was a streak that was within you for many, many years.
I think so. I think so because my brother, and he says, now I can really say you're my older sister, you know, and understand. And he says, sis, I really, really love you. Thank you for being so hard on me, because I was really hard on him. I'll tell you one thing. One year, my mother was going away on the weekend, something, I don't know what it was. And so I was really put in charge. And I was only, I think I was about 16 at the time. And so as soon as my mother left, my brother looked out the door. He says, she's gone. Come on over. And so I was standing in the door with my broom, said, no, you don't. You're not coming in here. So that's kind of the way I was as a big sister, older sister.
Wow. That's a great image. You standing there. No, you don't.
No, you're not coming in here.
You were a cultural ambassador, the thing with Colin Powell, the appointment to do that, and share some stories from that experience as a cultural ambassador for the State Department.
You know what? That was quite a thrill. I grew up knowing a lot of cultural ambassadors, not knowing them personally, but knowing of them. Pearl Bailey was a cultural ambassador. Louis Armstrong, there were a lot of people like that. And I remember seeing them talk about that, being an ambassador for the United States. And so it was something that when I was asked, because what happened was when Colin Powell wanted to get various people to be cultural ambassadors within the arts, this one person says, I know the perfect person, Mary Wilson. And so Colin says, well, I know her personally, you know. So they got in touch with me and asked me if I would be interested in it. And of course, I was absolutely a cultural ambassador. You mean like Pearl Bailey, like Louis Armstrong? You know, I was like, wow.
This, when do I start?
Yeah, right. And I did. And it was so beautiful because I was able to visit countries that I had not visited as a Supreme, like places, Sri Lanka, Laos, Vietnam, and all those kind of places. I went to different countries in Africa. And in Africa, we spoke about the AIDS epidemic that is still affecting the countries in Africa. And Colin Powell was just one of the greatest people, because he always came back and said, you know, you've done a great job. And I absolutely enjoyed doing it. You know, just talking about America, talking about how being a Supreme, being born poor and all those things, and how I achieved so much in life, and that type of thing can only happen in America. So that was basically our, you know, spiel. And we would tell our own stories, which was really great. So it's been a wonderful ride for me.
There's a thing that you do, Dare to Dream lectures.
Well, you know, it has still to do with the being an ambassador and a spokesman for the landmine clearances, because it's all based upon my life and what I've done. And that basically is what Dare to Dream is. It's all about we the Supreme starting to sing very early, and all of our travels, the things we encountered, which many people encounter, the segregation in America back in the 60s, how hard it was that sometimes we would work. In fact, I was just invited to a very dear friend's memorial, Dick Clark. It brought back to mind some of the tours we did back in those days. We were singing rock and roll, but the audiences were white on this side and black on this side. Then when the concerts were over, everybody would be together. The music brought everyone together. So, you know, the Dare to Dream is all about that, how those kind of things have happened in life, not just to me, but, you know, to people. But I was fortunate enough to have kept diaries. So I wrote about them when I was in high school. I remember my teacher, my English teacher, Mr. Boone, one day said, Miss Wilson, and I was in the 12th grade, he says, I know you're still singing with that little group called the Primettes. That was before we were the Supremes, right? He says, well, I just want you to know that if you do not pass my class, you will not graduate, and you will not be able to go out and sing with those, you know, with those.
You will not be a Primette anymore.
Yes, exactly. So I buckled down and got a really good grade out of his class. It was an English class. And so when he called me in just before we graduated, he says, you know, I think that instead of singing these little songs and going down to Motown, you should become a writer. So that's how I started writing and keeping diaries. And after the diaries, after, you know, things got a little lean for the Supremes, when, you know, Flo left, Diane left, and I was there, and I said, you know, maybe this is a good time for me to write my book. Here comes, I think that's the orchestra wanting me to rehearse now.
That's the best way to get a call.
Great, thank you so much. Give me your card.
I will give you my card.
Well, I think it's great because you did so much, research.
I appreciate your time, Mary. It's an honor.
Thank you very much, David.